Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Maseches Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on Daf Yud Amud Bet, that's 10b. We are four lines up from the Tosfot that begins She'er. So four wide lines up from the Tosfot of She'er at the end of the line. And we are at a new section of our tractate. Basically, we're now getting into a sort of a line-by-line drasha, a line-by-line interpretation of the Megillah. But before we get there, we're going to give approximately 15, I think there are 15 of them, approximately 15 introductions to the Megillah. So what would happen is when the Amoraim came to give a drasha on the Megillah, they would open up with a psukim from the Navi, usually from the Navi, occasionally from the Torah, from Ketuvim. They would open up with psukim that they would interpret related to the Purim story, and then they would begin to darshan the Megillah itself. So we start with Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan patach la pitcha. Rabbi Yonatan would open up with an opening lahai parshata to this parsha of the Megillah mehacha from here. So this is Yeshayahu chapter 14. So he would interpret Yeshayahu chapter 14 as being about Purim. Here's the pasuk. It's pasuk chaf bet, and the pasuk says, "Vikamti alehem, I will come up on them." Ne'um Hashem tzvakot, said Hashem, Master of Hosts. V'hichrati lebavel, I will cut off of Bavel, shame, the name, ushar, and family. V'nin, usually means great-grandchildren. V'neched, and grandchildren. Ne'um Hashem, so says Hashem. So this is talking about how Babylonia will be called to account for its sins. So this is connected to the idea of Purim because Vashti's grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar, and he's the one who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And so the downfall of Vashti, and potentially of, I mean, here we don't talk about Haman, we talk about Vashti, but the downfall of Vashti is connected to the payment by God of the sins of Babylonia. Okay, so the Gemara is going to explain each phrase. So I'm at the in the middle of the third line up from the Tosfos, and it says, shame, sorry, at the end of the line, shame, when it says that he will cut off from Bavel, the name, Zehaktav, this means their written language will be cut off from history. She'er, family, Zelashon, this means their spoken language will be cut off. Nin, great-grandchild, Zemalchut, this means that they are their kingdom, which was passed down from from a father to son, nepotistically, will be cut off. V'neched, and grandchildren, Zuvashti. This is Vashti, because Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and her father was Belshazzar. So I think this is always why the rabbis didn't like Vashti, and why they tell all of these stories about what a bad queen she was, even though in the Megillah it doesn't say anything bad about her, because she was Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter. How could she be a good person? The second opening is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni patach lapitcha lahai parshata. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni would begin his drasha about the Megillah Mehacha from this source. He's quoting Yeshayahu chapter 55, Yeshayahu perek nunhei. The last pasuk in Yeshayahu chapter nunhei, which is a famous and familiar section. It's the Haftorah for Shabbat Shuva, Tirshu Hashem Behimaso. The last line says, Tachat ha-na'atzutz ya'alev erosh, replacing the bramble will be a cypress tree, and Tachat ha-sirpad, and replacing the nettle, ya'alev hadas, will come a hadas tree, which is a myrtle tree. V'ayala Hashem Shem, and it will be for Hashem for a name, for a reputation. La'ot olam, for an eternal sign. Lo yikaret, it shall never be cut off. So we can already see, based on the idea of hadas, that we'll expect this to be related to Purim. So here's how he explains it. Tachat ha-na'atzutz, replacing the thorn, that's Tachat Haman. That refers to Haman. He is the thorn. Haman HaRasha. She'asa atzmo avodah zarah, and he made himself into object of idolatrous worship. Dichtiv, as it is written, ubechol hanatsusim ubechol hanahalulim. All of these brambles and all of these praises. Now, I don't know exactly what the connection here is to Avodah Zarah. Perhaps it's from the word nahalulim, which could mean maybe idolatrous chants or services. I don't know exactly, but we can understand that the thorn in our sides was Haman. Ya'alev Arosh, replacing the thorn, will be the cypress tree. Ze Mordechai, this is Mordechai, Shenikra Rosh L'chol HaBesamim. Just like the word brosh sounds like Rosh, so we say that Mordechai is like the Rosh of all of the spices. What do we mean? Shenemar, as it says, V'yatach kach lecha besamim Rosh, when you will take the spices, fragrant spices, it says this in the Torah, in Shemot chapter 30. So it says that the first spice, the chief spice of this mixture, is mardror. Umetargaminan, in the Aramaic translation of mardror, they call it maridechi, and that sounds like Mordechai. So we're saying that Mordechai is like mardror, which is the head spice of the fragrant spices. And when it says yale barosh, replacing the thorn will be the brosh. So we put all of these things together to suggest that it's Mordechai. It's actually a pretty complicated and multi-step drasha. Tachar hasir pad, replacing the nettles, that means Vashti harisha'ah, bat beno shel Nebuchadnezzar. And here it's clear that she is the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar harasha. So she is the nettle. Shesaraf refidat beit Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who burned the refid of the house of God. So the refid, it sounds like, is some part of the furniture of the innermost section of the Bina Mikdash. It may be the kaporet that was covering the ark. Dichtiv, as it is written, refidato zahav. It had a golden refid in the Bina Mikdash. Now, in particular, we're using this word refid. I'm not exactly sure why we use the word refid. I don't know if it's related to sirpad. I'm not sure where the word refid comes from exactly. Ya'le hadas, but will be replaced by a myrtle tree. Zu Esther, this is Esther Hatzadeket, the righteous woman, Shenikra Hadassah, because her name was Hadassah. Shenemar, as it says in the beginning of the Megillah, Vayhi Omeinet Hadassah, he Esther, that Mordechai took care of Hadassah, and her name was Esther. In fact, the Marsha mentions that all of the names in the Megillah are code names, Mordechai and Esther. All of these names are not really their real names. They are fictitious names. The only one whose name is mentioned is Hadassah. It's her real name was Hadassah. Okay, V'ayal Hashem Shem, and then the pasuk goes on. It will be for Hashem's reputation, his name. Zumikra Megillah, this is the reading of the Megillah, which, after all, publicizes the miracle of how Hashem saved the Jewish people. And the last couple words of the verse are La'ot Olam Lo Yikared. It will be an eternal sign. It will never be cut off. Elu Yimei Purim. These are the days of Purim, which we have a tradition, will never pass away from the Jewish people. So that is how Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni would open up his drashas about Purim. Here's the third one. The third Amorat, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Patach LaPitcha L'Hai Parshata. He would open up his opening for this Parsha of the Megillah Mehacha from here. And he's quoting a section. The first two quoted sections from Isaiah, this section is from the Torah. It's from Devarim chapter 28, and it is part of the Tochacha. It's Hashem's rebuke of the Jewish people. And he tells them, if you sin, V'haya kasher sas Hashem aleichem lehitiv etchem, just as Hashem was so happy and celebrated doing good things for you, kein yasis, so he will also celebrate. Now, in the Gemara here, it says lehara etchem, but if you look up the pasuk, it says lehavid etchem, to destroy you, ulahashmid etchem, and to another word for destroying you, to completely obliterate you. So that's the proper quotation of the verse. But just as Hashem was happy to do good things for you, Hashem will be happy to do bad things to you if you sin. Umi chadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mat palatan shel rashayim, is it really true that Hashem is happy when the wicked fall down? Chadei here means happy. The only question is, who are the rashayim? Based on this understanding, based on the Tochacha, the Rishayim are the Jewish people. When they sin and distance themselves from God, then Hashem will be happy to destroy them because they've been Rishayim. And so we're asking, is that really what Hashem wants for the Jewish people, that if they become sinners, he will celebrate destroying them? We have traditions that Hashem doesn't want to destroy wicked people. Now, the examples we're going to give are about Hashem destroying non-Jews and other nations, not the Jewish people themselves. Perhaps there's an argument, Kal Vachomer, that if Hashem doesn't want to destroy Ammonim and Moavim and other people, for sure He wouldn't want to destroy the Jewish people. But these are the examples. V'ha-Ketiv, is it not written? And this pasuk comes from Divrei Hayamim Bet, Chronicles 2, chapter 20, verse 21. Bitzeit lifnei hechalutz, that the armies, this was under Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was going out with his army and they were going to destroy the Ammonim. I think it was the Ammonim and the Givonim. And the vanguard went before them. And as the vanguard went out to battle, where they successfully destroyed these other nations, they said, Hodu Lashem ki li'olam chasdo. Give thanks to Hashem for His kindnesses forever. Now, if you're familiar with that phrase, you know that it should say, Hodu Lashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, Yama Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma lo ne'emar ki tov. Why didn't it say, Hodu Lashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo? Behoda Azu, in this song of thanks that they were singing to the troops as they went into battle. Lefish Enakadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'Mapalatan Shel Rishaim, because the Holy One does not celebrate the downfall of the wicked. So even though at the end of the day Hashem was on Yehoshaphat's side and He wanted them to win in battle, instead of saying Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, that it's good, they eliminated the Ki Tov. Hodu Lashem Ki Olam Chasdo, they diminished their thankfulness to Hashem because, unfortunately, the wicked soldiers all had to die. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan will give another example. Mai Dichtiv, why is it written, V'lo Karav Ze El Ze Kol HaLaila, that when the Jewish people were pinned up against the Yamsuf, and the Egyptians were chasing them down, so there was a pillar of fire that was between the Jewish camp and the Egyptian camp, and so the Egyptian camp and the Jewish camp, lo karav ze el ze, they didn't come close to each other all night. So that night, the Gemara, the Midrash, tells a story of what was happening in heaven. Bikshu malachei asharet lomar shira. The angels wanted to say a special shira. We understand this to be Hallel, before Hashem, on the night that the Jewish people were saved during the splitting of the sea. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Hashem said, Ma'asei yadai tovin bayam, my creatures are drowning in the sea, meaning the Egyptian soldiers who then in the morning chased the Jews into the sea. Vatem omrim shira, and you want to sing praise to me? My creatures are drowning, I don't want to hear praise from you right now, meaning I don't celebrate the death of the Egyptians, even though I want the Jewish people to get out of Mitzrayim. I'm not happy about the fact that the Egyptians have to die. So that's learned from that pasuk. Exactly how it's learned from V'lo Karav Ze El Ze, we'll leave for another time because it's complicated. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar answers the question that we have here, that because now it seems like Hashem should not celebrate the downfall of the wicked. He says, Hu Eino Sas, he does not celebrate the downfall of the wicked. Aval Acherim may cease, but he makes others celebrate, or perhaps he lets others celebrate. In other words, the Jewish people, when they destroyed the Ammonim, they were allowed to celebrate. If they destroy Haman and the armies on Purim that wanted to kill them, they're allowed to celebrate. But Hashem himself does not celebrate the downfall of the wicked. V'daika Nami, we can make a diuk, a close reading as well, as it says in the beginning of this drasha, that it said, Ka'asher Yasis Hashem. So it said, Kain Yasis v'lo kativ Yasus. It doesn't say Yasus, which would mean that Hashem himself was celebrating, but only that he makes other people celebrate. Shema mina, learn from this that it's true. So the conclusion of it is that even though Hashem doesn't celebrate the downfall of the wicked, but he will allow other people to celebrate. Now, the question is exactly what this means here. The Maharsha gives an interesting interpretation that what's really happening here is that Haman was so happy and celebrating when he thought his plans were going to work. So he allowed Haman to become really, really happy about the fact that he was going to destroy the Jews, and then he destroyed his plan. So what Hashem was really happy about was destroying Haman's plans and taking away Haman's happiness at what he thought was going to happen. So that's an interesting idea. Okay, we are five lines up from the bottom, and here is our fourth introductory drusha idea. Just like, you know, some rabbis will tell a joke or will start off in a light way with something contemporary before they get to the meat of their drusha. So too, these rabbis also were doing it. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana patach la pitcha lahai parshata. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana started his drusha with this, to this parsha of the Megillah. Mehacha, from here. Now, this section is the second chapter of Kohelet. It's Kohelet chapter 2, verse 26. So he said, in this chapter, Kohelet is talking about how he's trying to find meaning in life. And, he's pursuing different ways of finding meaning. So he says at the end, Le'adam, for a man, shetov lifanav, who is good before Hashem, natan chachma vadat v'simcha. He will give wisdom and knowledge and joy. So who does this refer to? He says this refers to Mordechai. Mordechai is the kind of person that had chachma, das, and simcha. The Mordechai tzaddik, Mordechai the righteous one. Vila, and then the verse goes on. Vila chote, and the sinner, natan inyan le'esof v'lichnos. He, for the sinner, Hashem puts him to work gathering things and combining things, but all the things that he gathers in the end don't really, he doesn't get any benefit from them. Ze Haman, this is Haman. Latet tov lifneha Elokim, to give goodness before Hashem. This is the continuation of the same pasuk. Ze Mordechai, this is Mordechai. Ve Esther and Esther. It's Mordechai and Esther together. Before we only said Mordechai, now we say Mordechai and Esther. Dichtiva tasem Esther Mordechai al Beit Haman, that Esther put Mordechai in charge of Haman's estate after he was hanged. So this idea of latov, of putting goodness before Hashem, they connect it to Esther putting Mordechai over Haman's house. So he would learn from these psukim in Kohelet, he would connect them to Haman, to Mordechai, and to Esther. Okay, two lines up from the bottom is our fifth opening. Rabba bar Ofran, Rabba the son of Ofran, patach la pitcha lahai parshuta, he would open up his drasha on Purim to this section of the Megillah. Mehacha, from here. This is Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu chapter 49, verse 38. And it says, Visamti kis'i be'elam, I put my throne in Elam, v'havadti misham melech v'sarim, and then I destroyed in Elam the king and his ministers. Melech zu Vashti. We're saying Melech is actually Vashti. It's interesting here that we interpret Vashti not as the queen, but as the king, perhaps because she's the one that had the kingly bloodline descended from Nebuchadnezzar. V'sarim, and the ministers, ze Haman v'aser banav. This is Haman and his 10 sons. This is also curious because Haman and his sons were never ministers to Vashti. In fact, if Haman was mimuchan, as the rabbis interpret later, he was instrumental in getting rid of Vashti, and he was only raised up to power after Vashti was gone already. But that's how Rabba bar Ofran began his drasha on Purim. We'll do one more, the sixth one, last line. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak patach la pitcha lahai parshat ha-mehacha. Rav Dimi, the son of Yitzchak, would open up his drasha to the parsha of the Megillah from here. And this quotation is from Ezra chapter 9, verse 9. So this is the first time we've had a quotation from Ketuvim. And here it says, Ki avadim anachnu, we are the servants of God, uva avduteinu lo azavnu elokeinu, and in our service of God Hashem has never abandoned us, vayet aleinu chesed, and he stretched out to us kindness, lifnei malchei paras, before the kings of Persia. Now if we look at this pasuk, we can see that it continues, latet lanu michia, to give us support, l'romeim et beit Elokeinu, to lift up the house of God, u'lahamid et charvotav, and to fix the destruction of the temple. So this is all associating the judgment of Purim with the beginning of the Second Temple period. So the Gemara asks, Eimatai, when did Hashem do chesed with us before the kings of Persia? Bizman Haman, at the time of Haman. We'll stop there and continue with additional drasha introductions in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.